want to greet each one this evening. Worth the name of Jesus, we welcome each one to the service. We're blessed last evening, and we look forward to blessings again this evening. Now, I thought maybe some of those songs I shouldn't be, maybe just listen, make sure that that's really what I mean. Those songs really talked about, speak, O Lord, out of thy eternal word, an invitation for God to be here. And there's no reason we're here if he isn't, as far as growing in our spiritual life. But then it also talked about come, move among us, bending, breaking, filling too. I would be thine and serve thee forever. And those are choices on our part. So this is going to be all it can be. It's going, there's two pieces here that need to be at work here. I trust there will be. This evening, I can testify it was good to be here last night. We were blessed. Look forward to more blessings this evening. We have two topics. First topic is by Brother Fred, Separation in Everyday Life. The second one is by Jeff Byler. There's two different things. I'll let them give their texts and those things. Let's, before we turn the time over to them, maybe we can stand and we'll have prayer. Between the two topics, song leader can lead the song. Eternal Father, we pause just now. We lift to you thanksgiving and praise. Thank you that you've promised where two or three are gathered together, you'll be in their midst. Lord, we again this evening thank you for the liberty and the freedom we have to gather and sit together in this way. Lord, as we think of the subjects that are before us this evening, help us to have a hunger and a thirst to understand them better, and a desire, Lord, to live them out day by day. We just lift our brothers to the throne of grace, Brother Fred, Brother Jeff. Give them courage. Make it easy for them to speak. Give them utterance of speech. They could share that which you've laid upon their heart. Lord, anoint our ears as we have the privilege to hear this evening. May we be able to take it into our hearts and understand it. May it burn within us. May it bring forth fruit into eternal life. May it inspire and bless us in the coming days. Lord, we pray for those that can't be here this evening. May you minister to them, keep them in thy care, and bring them back safely if it's thy will. Lord, we commit the evening to you. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. After Jeff's finished, then I'll take the announcements and close the service.
Greetings to each one of you in Christ's name this evening. Thank you all for all your prayers you've put into this, and may the Lord bless you for that. The topic this evening, separation in business. It was mentioned a little bit last night, and the business faces the same way. It's a little difficult to be separated in business from the world because we all have business. We all do business. We're actually commanded in the Bible to do business. We're commanded to go to the ants, watch the ants work, basically to stay busy. And that's where the word business comes from, directly from being busy. Business is not necessarily doing a thing for money. Often we associate that with that. But business is the act of being busy. What you do to stay busy is what you're doing when you do business. The Bible talks some about that. The difficult part is that good business principles and godly business principles are the same thing. I would say that you could probably be an ungodly person and most of the way or all the way run your business with godly business principles, and people you would be good at running the business. The business would be good. God created principles because they work. That's the way things are. Some things we sometimes think of that we may do. Soft answer turneth away wrath. I mean, if you think about it, even an ungodly person realizes that that's a good way, if there's business disputes, to work things out like that. There's a lot of things that we tend to think and that are good business principles that may not be specifically separated or different than the world around us does it. Business is something I think in our circles is somewhat newer. I was thinking about this just 15 or 20 minutes ago. The thought hadn't crossed my mind. But if you think about what your dad or your grandpas did for work, how many of them were what we would call businessmen? How many of them operated a business? Not very many of them did. Most of them were involved in some type of agricultural work. My grandpa did some construction at one time. Him and his sons working there, but hiring other people in to work in a business, it's something that's fairly new, probably I would say in the last 50 years, and I would say it's accelerated probably in the last 10 to 15 with declines in a lot of people being willing to work in the trades, being willing to work outside and do hard work. So in our circles, it's become doing business, being a good business person, has almost become something that you should achieve for. What did Jesus say about business? We don't read much about what Jesus did for business. When he was 12 years old, he was doing business. When his parents found him in the temple there, he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and on the right-hand side, it usually has a number referencing what Greek word that business was there to. And you can look it up in the back and see what this Greek word meant. There was no number beside business, so I assumed, and I didn't dig into it, that there's rows and rows and rows. That was the only verse in thousands that I saw that did not have a number beside it. So I'm assuming they literally translated it. I saw that too late, and I didn't dig into that. But Jesus was doing business. He was doing his Father's business. So how can we do our business in our lives that's different from just your person that does not have God in their lives, that does not live a godly life? What can we do different than that? So there's three areas, and they hit close to home for me, and I hope they do for you too. I don't want to share some things that you already know, and this is what you practice. These three things are things that I want you to take home and think about them. And so if you feel a poke, it's not because I picked out certain people, certain things that I'm poking at. It's just things that I think hit close to home, and I felt poked at or challenged it myself. So there's three areas I think make a difference between a person that's living for the Lord, living a godly life, and a person that is just running their business to operate a good business. The first one is to increase your net worth. Now you might look at me a little funny because that doesn't sound very separated. Doesn't sound like that. So if somebody comes up to us and asks, "How much are you worth?" 95, or if we passed out a questionnaire, how much are you worth? Fill out with things that you're worth. Most of us would fill in dollars and cents. We would fill out our house is this much value. Our vehicles are this much value. Totaled up, this is what I'm worth. We tend to work in our businesses to make increased net worth. We keep It seems I don't know quite what it is. Maybe you can tell me after church. But often you meet somebody, they find out you work in a business, and the second question is, how many people are working there? Judging how much is your net worth? How big of a business do you have? Maybe not in an unfriendly way. Sometimes it's different. Talking to someone, a lumber yard that has 3 people working there is a different type of lumber yard than one that has 30 people working there. So it might make some difference in the conversation. But one thing I struggle with, or that I have to watch myself with a little bit, is that somehow I feel that the bigger that number is, the more people that are working in the business, the better I am. And that helps my net worth go up. That means we're bringing in more money. We're making more stuff happen. I think the net worth that we need to focus on, the net worth that I want you to grow in, is not dollars and cents. A Christian's net worth is measured by the value you contribute to God's kingdom and what you matter to the souls around you. That's what matters in your net worth. How much work are you putting into increasing your net worth for God's kingdom? If you got paid by the hour to work in God's kingdom, how much would that account add up? There's so many things we can do. We tend to put a premium on our personal net worth and not near as much on God, our actual net worth. What do we mean to the people around us? The first Bible verse I would like to turn to is in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You can be a really rich person with a low net worth, or you can be a poor person with a high net worth. Think about that for a while. Remember that. The next 2 points I have are somewhat under this point here. They help contribute to that. I'm going to back up just a little bit and add to that point there in net worth. If our focus is on earthly net worth, how many dollars and cents do we have in the account? How close do we have our house paid off? What for vehicle do we need next? If we continue to work and work and work as much as we possibly can until we feel like I have enough now, you will never hit that amount. You will never get to the point where you finally say, I have enough. If your focus is on earthly riches, it never feels like you have enough, no matter how much you have. An encouragement I would have for you married couples. Sometimes we do need to go through times of increasing our physical net worth. There may be some times where we have there's seasons of life where money can be really tight, and you can't just take a week off of work because of circumstances. But I encourage you to talk with each other about that. Set a plan ahead of time. When we get to this point, we're going to reevaluate. We're going to have enough. When we have either this much saved up, or for 6 months, we're really going to go at this. I may not be at home as much. I may be working late, but we're going to go 6 months, and we're going to talk about it again. Don't go, I'm going to work until we feel like we have enough, because you will never get there. You will work and work and work and never show up, never be there for each other. All right, so my second point there. First one was increase your net worth. The second one was be a good Samaritan. Raise of hands, how many of you have memorized what chapter the Good Samaritan is? Okay, it's mostly younger people, and I see smiles, so I'm thinking they might remember that the same way. Well, there's a visiting minister a few years ago, and it's in Luke 10. And he said, so these people in the Good Samaritan, they were walking along, and they saw some feet sticking up. They saw 10 toes. They said, look, 10. That's how you remember it. It was Luke 10. They said, look, 10, when they came up over the hill. So somehow I can always remember. So let's turn to Luke 10. Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto them, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he was journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave unto the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Often, there was a study done that I read in a book that prompted me to think about this. It was at the University of Stanford, and they did this a few years ago. There was people there studying for seminary. There were people there studying to be pastors, studying the Bible. And they had arranged these people to have a talk over here at this building about the Good Samaritan. This was their topic, was the Good Samaritan. Before they were over here at this talk, they would be over here at this building. And the researchers would be talking with them about this topic. The thing that made the biggest difference, some of them, all of a sudden they were expecting you over there. You better get going. They were expecting you about 3 minutes ago. The other group, they would say, well, there, you should be over there in about 5 minutes. You can head over on that direction. Halfway over there, there was a person that matched the description of this man. There was a wounded man they set up that these people had to walk past to go from building A to building B. The people that were in a hurry, they did multiple different, into the study, it got into different different backgrounds, different reasons they were studying. The thing that made the biggest difference was this. And the people that were in a hurry, 9% of them stopped and paid any attention to this man that was here. Some of them even stepped over the man in a hurry to get over to their building to have a talk about the Good Samaritan helping this wounded man. The people that had plenty of time, 69% of them stopped and helped that man. Now think about that. How much do you do during your day? I do that with my day. I have customers that expect me some days 7 or 8 people. 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and I have to keep going and keep going and keep going. How often are you like that 91% of those people that were in a hurry and completely walked past that person? Slow down in your business when you're doing things. Pay attention to things around there. Take time for that. That was the exact thing Jesus was talking about, was take time for those around us. Go and do likewise. There was somebody I was talking with recently. They got delayed at an airport. They were stuck there, and they were sitting at their gate. Now, normally in an airport, you're hurrying. You've got gates, places to go and things to do and make sure you're at your gate. And they were delayed, so they didn't have time. So they did have time. So they were sitting here watching. And there was, at this gate, they weren't going to be boarding for another 2 or 3 hours. And they brought these people up in the wheelchair and parked them here and left them. Well, it was airport employees. There was nobody there. So they were watching for a little bit. And after a while they started feeling convicted, started thinking about this. And they went over and said, well, I'm going to go over to the food court and get something to eat. Do you want anything? And they were so grateful because here they sat in a huge airport with thousands of people and nobody was there to even get them food. If that person would have been in a big hurry, do you think they would have ever stopped to help that person? The other evening, the youth were out passing fruit baskets. And there was miscommunication about, I'm going to call her Mary. There was two Marys, and youth miscommunicated about who was going to sing for who, and they sat down and started eating pizza and realized there was a Mary they had not going sung for that they had said they were going to show up. So they went and packed up and went singing for Mary after they were done eating pizza, maybe even halfway through the meal. They didn't say, well, you know what, we have things to do and places to go. Let's just get home. And they sacrificed time. That's what being a good Samaritan is. Make that a priority in your business. Don't put making money and getting working business done ahead of being a good Samaritan. The third one I have here is provide for your families. And you think, well, now what are you saying there? I go to work every day, I make money. You can measure that in dollars and cents, and you can look on your tax return and see how much money you made. But providing is way more than dollars and cents. You can make all the money you want in the world and still not provide for your family. It's easy to provide in dollars and cents. It's easier to go to work and make money than it is to come home and for me especially to spend time with family. It's something that I'm working on, and it's just work is much easier for me to do than. Spending an hour at work is much easier for me than spending an hour playing Uno with my daughters. But that's the type of thing that's providing. Mothers, when you're working with your children and reading stories and doing things with them all day, you are providing for the family as well. It's not just the person that goes out and makes money. You're providing as well. You can read books, you can take classes, you can check on, you can do all kinds of things to learn how to run your business better. Are you doing that about providing for your family? Are you taking the time to talk with others, to talk with your wife, to do things to learn how to provide for your family? Are you spiritually providing for your family, fathers? Are you leading out in devotions? Are you being the person at home? Are you providing spiritually there? One poem I read came across the other day, and it meant a lot to me. My child arrived just the other day. Shortly. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, it's not today. I got a lot to do. And he said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit here for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. He said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure been nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. What are you doing with your children? With the ones at home, are you providing for them? This dad had all the money that he needed, but he wasn't there for his son. Providing for your family is much more than providing for your family and increasing your net worth is much more than just making dollars and cents. Every decision you make, seek God's will in it. Compare that to your true net worth, eternal contributions to God's kingdom and to our relationships. All of that stuff outweighs any short-term profits we make. If you work an extra 3 weeks, three evenings last week, and you got some product done, you got some extra work done, you got some customers taken care of, you're not going to remember that in a week from now. Are you going to remember? The things you're going to remember are much more like that, much longer term. One person I heard speak, he did a lot of counseling. He was there for people soon after in hospitals after family had passed away. And he said not one time was anybody ever there on their deathbed. And they were like, do you remember that time I closed that deal? That day I worked late and we raised revenue 15%. Not one time did anybody remember that. It was the things they did together and the eternal net worth of things that they always remembered on their deathbed when they were ready to leave this life. So remember those things. Increase your net worth. Be a good Samaritan and provide for your families. And if you do those three things, I believe it can separate us from separate us in business. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, let's stand for that song.